Almighty God, you are so wonderful and mighty. And Lord God, it is you that we have come to hear from this morning. We've not come to hear from man, but to hear from you. And Lord, I just come as your humble servant, that vessel that you've pulled off the shelf to use today. Lord, I ask that the things that you have shown me, Lord, would be of you and nothing of me this morning. Speak to your people. Let sink into our hearts. Change us. We just thank you, Lord, and be glorified here. In Jesus' name, amen. I've gone back and forth on the title of my message this morning, and normally I don't even think about that. But it's either influence and impact or salt and light, so you can go with it whichever way it applies to you today. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And as I begin this morning, I ask you a question to answer to yourself. Are you influencing or impacting the world? We're going to jump right into Scripture. Matthew chapter 5. Starting with verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our influence or our impact on others should be as significant as the effect that salt has on food and light has on darkness. People should see something compelling in each and every one of us. They should see that Jesus lives in us as believers. He should shine through us and impact those around us. You know, when we serve as Jesus commanded us to, using our gifts and our talents and our skills, we meet the needs of all of those around us. We become salt and light to people. We should be pointing them to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. We've all been assigned to the position of influencing and impacting the world. We've been given that assignment. Jesus called us to be followers and to be on the front line for him. Nowhere do we read in the Word that Jesus wanted us to live in isolation, separated from this world. You cannot find that in this Word. And it is impossible to live, truly live, for the kingdom in private. When I was studying this Word and I was thinking how I just dislike social media, and I was thinking about this, God called us to be social. He has a social agenda. not one of isolation, that we can stay in our homes. He wants us to get out there. We're called to make a difference by influencing and impacting the world around us. You know, and I was thinking on the scripture that I just read about being salt of the earth and light of the world. Two very simple things, salt and light. And I was thinking about it in today, and you know, why didn't Jesus pick something bigger and better? Why did he pick these simple things? They're kind of strange figures when you think about it. Why didn't he appeal to our pride? He could have called us eagles or lions or even stars. But no, he told us we were salt or seasoning of the earth. He said, you're to be a light bearer to the world. And I think he probably chose those two metaphors, salt and light, because of their unique qualities. Simple things that carry a huge influence. Both have immediate impact. Both are noticed instantly. We're called to be salt. You are the salt of the earth. That phrase has been taken out of the word and put in folklore and English proverbs. If someone is genuine, useful, honest, straightforward, without hypocrisy, we often say, they are like the salt of the earth. They, you know, they're a good person. Salt was one of the most common substances in the ancient world. Roman soldiers were paid in salt and would revolt if they did not get their ration. The English word salary comes from the Latin word salarium, which literally means salt money. And our expression that man is not worth his salt is a reminder of the high value that salt had in biblical times. I want us to look at salt as someone who loves to cook. Salt is very important in my kitchen. I have various kinds of salt. I have pink salt. I have sea salt. I have kosher salt. I have various kinds. But in the ancient world, the primary function of salt was as a preservative. It retarded spoilage. Likewise, as believers, we are to act as a preservative to this world. As we bring Christ's word and the kingdom's influence into our society, we are here to help protect the society from the evils that lurk around every corner. Imagine this world without churches, Christian colleges, no church-supported hospitals, no Christian organizations ministering to those in need. Salt is a preservative. Salt is also a flavoring, a seasoning. Christianity should bring spice and zest to life. Many years ago, when I first met Michael, we were having a conversation over the phone. For those of you who are younger, yes, you actually spoke on the phone and had conversations. There was no such thing as texting way back then. And we were having a conversation, and I remember asking Michael, well, what are you doing tonight? And it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. And he says, I'm going to church. And I said to him, well, didn't you just go on Sunday? And he said, yes, and I'm going again. And I said to him, well, you know what? You need to hang out with me more and get a life. And he says, well, I go 2 or 3 times a week. And I said, like I said, you need to hang with me, buddy, and you're going to get a life. Little did I know at that time that I was the one who needed a life. And I do see the spice and the zest that being a Christian has. As a Christian, we should be an image of how we should, our lives should be lived to others. Even if we're not well-educated or wealthy, powerful, we can impact others by allowing that Holy Spirit to just live through us. Salt penetrates. As someone who cooks, I can tell you, it oftentimes doesn't take much salt in something before it becomes too salty. And I've put a dish on the table and it's like, whoa, get the water. Salt penetrates something very quickly. It can spread, it spreads through a whole batch of food. It doesn't just stay in one place. And that's just how the gospel works. The message of Jesus can begin with a conversation one-on-one with someone and spread. You don't have to be a great preacher. You don't have to be eloquent in your words. All you have to do is be able to share what Jesus Christ has done in your life. How is he working today in your life? How has he affected you? And you become an effective evangelist. You make an impression. And you influence people. You'll even impact them. You know, I don't want to take away from Aaron's presentation from Uganda, but I know we've spoken many things about his trip, and Aaron is one to tell you he doesn't like to stand in front of people and talk. He doesn't feel that he's really eloquent with his words. But when I asked him what was one of his favorite things about Uganda, do you know what he said? Evangelism. Sharing the gospel. So look at that. Look where he's taken us in just 2014. How many trips we've made to Mexico to feed a meal, to give medical care. He took us to Cambodia, to Uganda, and to Scotland. And to my knowledge, he's only taken ordinary people. Not one of the people that I'm aware of that he took from Faith Harvest is extremely wealthy. Is this great speaker necessarily? Or all that powerful a person in this country? He used ordinary people. To spread the gospel. Salt is an antiseptic. In ancient times, newborn babies were rubbed with salt so that the cuts and infections of the medically primitive birth methods could be healed. Sounds kind of painful to me. But the cleaning out of the wound with salt was very effective at fighting the infections. You have a responsibility as salt to this world. You have a responsibility for not only pointing out someone's sin, and sometimes as Christians, we're very good at that. We're really good at pointing out what someone's doing wrong. As salt to the world, there's a but on that. You are also to offer healing and help to that person. by using your influence. You can help prevent some of the consequences that's caused by sin. Salt creates a thirst. It has been said that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But there's a second part to that saying. You can give him a salt tablet and make him thirsty. If you have ever been on a farm or grew up on a farm, they have these blocks for cows and the horses, I suppose. I didn't live near horses, but I'm sure they have them. These huge blocks of salt, and the cows would lick it. And then what would they do? Go get a drink of water. So you can give him a salt tablet, make him thirsty. As Jesus made people thirsty for God the Father, we Christians need to make people thirsty for a real life that's found only in Christianity. Your lifestyle will speak truth. Your lifestyle will influence those around you. Your lifestyle can have an impact on those in your world. Salt can lose its strength. In Matthew 5:13, it said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing." There's only one way that salt loses its flavor. And in biblical times, salt was collected by gathering up salt water and letting the water evaporate. When that collection of the salt water, oftentimes dirt and sand, was mixed in the water. And because of this, the mixture would become not very salty. So they throw it away. It was discarded. It was useless. As a believer, your salt loses flavor when you begin to tolerate sin in your life, make compromises. Let the dirt and the sand get mixed in. You can't make an impact. You can't influence. We are called to be light. Jesus not only says that we are the salt of the earth, he also says we are the light of the world. And the dictionary defines light as a source of illumination. Light comes from Christ. Jesus told his followers that they were the light of the world. In Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that has been set on a hill cannot be hidden." When you get out of Phoenix, if you get to drive at night out on the freeway where it gets really dark, and you're looking off, you can see cities spotting the horizon because their lights shine, and yet it's dark around you. The faithfulness of Jesus' disciples, who were for the most part uneducated fishermen. Think about that. They were fishermen. They changed the world forever. Ordinary people impacting the world. Lights. Light points the way. A lighthouse guides ships through the stormy waters. A lantern can illuminate the path at night. When you are driving on the streets of Mesa or Phoenix, wherever, and you see flashing lights come up behind you, what is your first instinct? Get out of the way, hopefully. No, not that. Quiet back there just now. No, not that. Oh, let me get out of the way. I'm doing nothing wrong. they come as a warning to us that we need to move, need to be guided. You know, we are lighthouses. We are beacons in stormy waters. Those around us are lost. Ask God every morning, before you even put your feet on the floor, give me opportunities to influence someone's life. Give me divine appointments that I can make an impact, that I can be the light of the world to someone. Light reveals and it awakens. One tiny candle can be seen all the way across the room. And again, I just tell you, you don't need some remarkable credentials to share the truth about Jesus. You don't need to be eloquent in your speech. You just need to be real. As disciples of Christ in this world, we become instruments to reveal his truth in a world of darkness. We are to be the light of the world, awakening men and women to the truth of the kingdom's arrival. You know, and if you listen to the news at all, we live in a very, very dark world. And we need to be a light, a bright, shining light. But again, a light can grow dim. In a kerosene lantern, the wick has to be trimmed to get a bright flame. If the wick gets too long, it creates soot and a dim light. Same thing happens when we tolerate sin in our lives. If we walk in obedience to God, we won't hinder that light shining through us. We are called to be salt and light in our world. But some of you might be saying, wait a minute. God really didn't mean me because I can't. But, brothers and sisters, friends, God meant you and me. He meant for everyone who's a follower of him to be salt and light to this world. When Jesus said you, he meant you. His words were not a suggestion, but they were a command. And I believe he even said it with some urgency in his voice. If you are the salt, then you need to season. And if you are the light, then you need to shine. In Matthew it says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Did you notice in that command, there's no like or as? We are commanded to be salt. Not just to be like it, but to be salt. And to be light. The one thing salt and light have in common is their uniqueness, their distinctiveness. There's nothing quite like salt. And there's nothing quite like light. Salt is different from pepper, and light is different from darkness. Have you ever been with a group of people who maybe begin to tell a joke that's a little off color, and they stop midway through because they realize you're in the room or in that circle? Have you ever been with a group of people or with someone who maybe uses a little colorful language, but as soon as you walk in the room or they realize you're present, they begin to apologize or say, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that." Your distinctiveness is coming through to those people in those occasions. Something in them said, "I can't do this because you're in the room." Your distinctiveness is shining through. It is the Christian distinctiveness that makes a difference in the world. In business, it's called marketing. In advertising, it's called positioning. And in basketball, it's called a strategy. In Christians, it's called holiness. It's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. But Jesus warned his followers, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. Perhaps the most important thing about salt is that in its purest form, it will never, ever lose taste. You can take salt, take a bowl of it or whatever, set it on your counter, leave it there for 10 years, if you live in your house that long. Come back to it, guess what? Once you blow the dust off the top, it's still going to be salt. It doesn't lose its makeup. It's still salt. It's dangerous as a Christian because sometimes we become diluted. We lose our saltiness. We lose that influence. We lose that ability to impact because we allow sin and compromise into our lives. And I want you to think about this. If you're not affecting the world, if you're not influencing, if you're not impacting the world, then guess what? The world's impacting you. If we're not adding salt to the world, then the world is rotting us. The things we watch on TV, the movies we go to, the things we listen to, the things we read, all of those things dilute our saltiness, dim the light. But praise God, there is a way to prevent that. Praise Him. We need to stay close to the ultimate influence, Christ Himself. We must spend time with Jesus. Spend time in this Word, reading this Word, thinking on this Word. We need to be in prayer, show up for prayer meetings. A weekly contact produces a weak influence. a daily contact is going to impact the world. I'd like us to turn in Matthew to chapter 28. In the Great Commission, Jesus is laying the foundation for a worldwide challenge. The disciples are to be salt of the earth and light to the world. The disciples are the salt of the earth, and they are the light to the world. In Matthew 28, starting with verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age.'" We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Jesus has called us to make an impression, to influence and to impact our world. We're not called to save the world. We can't save the world. But we can influence it and we can impact it. We can't do everything. We can't visit every country. We can't go out on the streets of the valley and touch every lost person by ourselves. But you know what? We can do something. And what we can do, we ought to be doing. That's what salt and light are all about. You know, I think of, you know, it seems like Faith Harvest kind of take the summer off. It's just too hot to do anything. Maybe in northern churches, and Carly will be able to tell us this in a few short months, when it's really cold, they take the winter months off. But, you know, with the fall and the hope of cooler weather coming, you know, we have some wonderful opportunities coming our way to be salt and light to this world. We have church in the park coming up starting in September, and look forward to when the pastors return to being able to share what the Lord has shown them with that. We have great opportunity right there to be salt and light to this world, to those who are lost. This year for Thanksgiving, we are still creating meals, but we're taking it to the men's shelter here in Mesa versus hitting the streets. The men's shelter is always filled to capacity with 94 men. 94 men who need light, who need seasoning. What great opportunity that you have to influence and to impact. If you look at the church calendar online, you will see that 2 to 3 times a month, the street evangelism team is hitting the streets or the bus stops or wherever. We have an opportunity to influence and impact the world. You know, maybe you say, well, that's not the ministry I'm called to. And you know, God didn't call us all to be street evangelists, but he did call us to be salt and light. I don't know about your workplaces, but my workplace is filled with darkness. And I never have to preach out of the Word of God at my work. But on a weekly, sometimes daily basis, I can have someone coming to my office asking for my Christian advice or asking for prayer. Because I hope I live a life that Christ shines through. You have a place of influence. You know? Maybe you think, well, I work out of the home. Well, you have children maybe at home. You're an influence. How you react to the checkout person at the grocery store, at the McDonald's drive-thru, you can be light and salt to this world. There are opportunities. You can tell yourself there are none. You have opportunities every day to influence and impact this world. Mo, if you would come. So I want you to ask yourself, what kind of an influence do you have? What kind of an impact are you making? Are you being salt and light? Not your neighbor, not your wife, not your husband. Are you being salt and light? Or do you believe that your impact is diminished a little bit by sin, by compromise, where you've let the world in so much that your salt is no longer pure? Your conduct and your character, your conversation will either draw people to the Son of God or will drive them away. When we seek to please Him with our lives, we become salt and light. When we work, and it is work, to rid ourselves of the things that are displeasing to Him, we are salt and light. This morning, if you feel you've lost your saltiness, or you feel your light's grown dim, the altar is open. It's time that we stop waiting for tomorrow. It's time that we stop waiting for someone else to do this. Today is the day that we need to be pure salt and a bright light in this world. The altar is open if you need to ask for some purification. Ask for your wick to be trimmed. You are the salt and the light of this world.